Welcome to the podcast of Radius Church. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
Over the next 4 weeks leading up to Christmas, we're going to be discovering the truths John 3:16 together. What we're going to do for these next 4 weeks, we're going to pull down a microscope and look at four phrases that are in that verse, because these phrases really are going to help us take John 3:16, something that many of us can say without thinking about it, and take it deeper and reveal to us some powerful truths about God. Let me ask a question this morning. Who is God? More importantly, who is God to you? What is your theology about God? What do you believe? What do you think about God? The psalmist writes in Psalm 19, verse 1, "The heavens tell the glory of God, and their expanse declares the work of his hands." The Apostle Paul has these words in Romans chapter 1, verse 20, when he says, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power, and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse." Both King David and the Apostle Paul reveal that we can gain an understanding of God through nature. When you look outside, if you ever go up on Casper Mountain and just look up at the stars, at the moon at night, or you just look at a beautiful sunset, you cannot look at these things and say, "This just happened by chance." When you look at nature, when you look at creation, you realize there had to be a creator. There was someone who had a design in mind, and as he organized our bodies, as he organized the earth and all the different, the photosynthesis, the water cycle, everything, how it happens, how the planets orbit, you realize there is a creator God. If you want to know more about God, it's not just to look at nature, but we need to dig into Scripture. And there's two kinds of attributes in Scripture that we find out about God. The first kind is natural attributes, and these are the qualities that set God apart and make him superior to all other beings and things in the universe. The second kind of attribute is God's moral attributes. These are the qualities of his character, his personality, and his actions. And John 16, it starts out with the words, "For God." This morning, I want to focus on God. I want to look at the natural attributes of him. These are the things that determine him in relationship to time, space, power, knowledge, and the creation of the world. It's these attributes that make him God, and no one else can be God. Now, if you've got your study notes that either on YouVersion, if you're part of that, or if you received them on the worship program when you walked in, the very first attribute we want to look at today is that God is immutable. All right? God is immutable. Now, that's a big theological term. It basically means unchanging. It means unable to change. If something is immutable, it's not able to change. It's unchanging. Some would say, you know, my wife is immutable. Okay, I'm not going to go there, all right? Don't touch that. All right? But God is immutable. He's the creator of the universe, but unlike the universe he created, he never changes. Unlike God, we do change. Everything around us changes. Whether we like it or not, we deteriorate and change over time, okay? There was a time when I could see 20/20. I didn't need these. Now I need my glasses. That has changed. There was a time when my belly was flat. That has changed. There was a time when I could run, jump, and roll down a hill, and then I changed. There was a time when my hair was sandy blonde, and now I've got a lot of gray. That has changed. And that change just keeps coming and coming and coming and coming. We all change, but God never changes. There's a profound truth in your notes this morning. I want you to take a look at it. This is so powerful. Change is impossible for God because all change is for better or worse. But God possesses absolute immutable perfection. He cannot get better and he will not get worse. Friends, God is perfect. He cannot get better, and he will not get worse. He is unchangeable, because you can't change perfection. In Psalm 102, David was suffering affliction, and he compares the changeableness of his situation with the unchangeableness of God. In verse 25, he says, "Of old, you founded the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. Even they will perish, but you endure, and all of them will wear out like a garment, like clothing. You will change them, and they will be changed, but you are the same, and your years will never come to an end." Friends, God cannot change because he is immutable. The prophet Malachi reveals this in the last book of the Bible, in Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. I know in your notes it says 5. Cross that out, put verse 6. The Lord says, "I, the Lord, do not change." And the New Testament writer of Hebrews, he echoed that truth when he's talking about Jesus. In Hebrews 13:8, he says, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever." Friends, that's great news for us. If you're a follower of Jesus, that's great news, because knowing that God is unchangeable means that you can trust him with absolutely everything in your life, because you can depend on him. We can know who he is, who he was, and who he always will be. He will be the same. Do we change? Yes. Does he change? No. God is unchangeable. And because of that, you can put your faith and your confidence in him. All right? That's the first attribute of God when we look at who God is. The second attribute we want to look at is that God is eternal. God is eternal. Now, what does that mean in relationship to time, space, and eternity? It means that God has no beginning and he has no ending. Okay? Friends, even the Marvel comic characters, the Eternals, are not eternal. Okay? Only God is eternal. God has no beginning and no end. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, we see this idea when it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Nobody created God. He always was, but everything else has been created. He created you and me. We did not come from monkeys or gorillas who came from, you know, something else, who came from a tadpole, who came from an amoeba. Friends, God created everything. It says in Genesis 1:27 that he created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female created he them. Friends, you are not an accident of chance. You're not a random progression of evolutionary change. God created you on purpose for a purpose. You're special. He loves you. There's nothing you can do about it. He created you. God is an eternal, loving creator. Even his name reveals eternity. Moses was at the burning bush, and God said, "Moses, I want you to go back to Egypt. I want you to set my people free from slavery." And Moses says, "Well, God, what's your name? What should I tell them? Who sent me?" And this is what the Lord said in Exodus 3, verse 13. He says, "Behold, I'm going to the sons of Israel. I'll say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent to me.' What is his name?" And this is what God says, verse 14, "I am who I am. You shall say to the sons of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.'" God didn't say, "I was." God didn't say, "I will be." He said, "I am." I have always existed. All in the time past, I am. I've always been there. In time future, I always will be. I am. Jesus declared that truth. When the Pharisees were saying, "Where did you come from?" In John 8:58, Jesus said, "Before Abraham was born, I am." Jesus said he was God. God always has been. The scriptures declare in Psalm 90, verse 1, "Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you gave birth to the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God." Friends, everlasting means it had no start. It always has been, and it will never end. God is eternal. God is unchanging. The third thing we're going to see from Scripture about who God is that God is omnipresent. Now, the word omni means all, or it means everywhere. Present, God is all present, meaning He is everywhere and at every place all the time. You know, growing up, I kind of thought my mom was omnipresent. How many of you ever felt that about your parents? Like, they had eyes in the back of your head. You couldn't get away with anything. They knew it, okay? God is omnipresent. He is all where. It says in 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9, the eyes of the Lord search the whole earth, and listen to this, in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. If your heart is fully committed to Jesus, God says, I'm searching the earth, and I'm going to strengthen you. And maybe you don't feel like you're being strengthened, but that is a promise from God that you can take to the bank. If you're going after Him with all of your heart, He will strengthen you. God's eyes are constantly looking from the east to the west at the affairs of every single person. His omnipresence enables Him to see everything in the universe and be in it at all places, at all times, at the same time. It's not like last week when I was in Kansas City at the game and you were back here in Wyoming. I couldn't be in both places at once, but God was in both places, everywhere in between and everywhere beyond. That's mind-blowing. I can't comprehend how God can be here, but He can be with our missionaries in Africa or in Bosnia-Herzegovina or in France or in Latin America, but God is everywhere. When our astronauts go into outer space, God's with them. There is no place we can go where we can escape God. God is everywhere at all times. And that should be reassuring to us. It says, the psalmist, he was reassured by this thought. In Psalm 139, verse 70, he says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your hand will lead me, and your right hand will lay hold of me. It was a comforting thought to the psalmist, but the thought of God being everywhere at all times can also be a sobering thought if you're not in right relationship to Him. In Amos chapter 9, God was telling Israel, you can't escape my judgment. No matter how hard you try, you can't escape my judgment for your rebellion against me. In verse 1, he says, not one of them shall flee away, not one of them shall escape. Friends, you can run from God, but you can't hide. Numbers 32:23 says, be sure your sins will find you out. The omnipresence of God is reassuring, but it's sobering. And if we're doing our best to live for God, then you can be assured that His omnipresence will bring grace, healing, comfort, protection, victory, hope, joy, and peace. But if we're not in right relationship with God, if we have rejected Him, if we're living in disobedience and rebellion, then His omnipresence brings conviction and judgment and fear. The thing is, we have a choice today as to how we respond. How do we feel knowing that everywhere I go and everything I do, God knows about it? You make that choice. You make that choice. We're going to give you an opportunity at the end of the service to say, God, I'm glad you're everywhere at all times because I'm in right relationship with you. We see that God is everywhere at all times, okay? All right, let's look at the fourth truth that we're going to learn about God today. God is omnipotent, okay? So what does omni mean? I just shared it with you. What does omni mean? All, and what's potent mean?
Power.
So omnipotent means all powerful. God is all powerful. There's many things in the world that possess powers. Jets, rockets, motors, but their power is limited. They can only do so much. In fact, we have measurements for power. Auto engines are measured in horsepower and pounds of torque. The power of electricity is measured in watts, kilowatts, megawatts, and gigawatts. Or if you're back to the future, it's gigawatts. The power of rockets is measured in pounds of thrust. And as powerful as all these things are, none of them are compared or can be measured to God's power, because His power can't be measured. His power is unlimited. It is limitless. Only God has a power to create something out of nothing. Only God has the power to take mud, to put it on a blind man's eyes and give him sight again. Only God can bring the dead back to life. Only God can speak one word and the worlds come into existence. God can open the Red Sea and create dry ground and have 2-3 million people cross over and then close that up on their enemy who's pursuing them. Only God can breathe into a piece of clay and have it come to life. Friends, that's omnipotent power. That's a power that's unlimited, unimaginable, indescribable, unfathomable. God's power is limitless. Now, speaking of a piece of clay, it reminds me of the story when a certain bunch of scientists came to God one day, and they says, God, we have no need for you anymore because we have learned how to make man from dust, all right? And God says, well, you guys think you're so great? Okay, let's have a man-making contest. The scientist, yeah, let's do it. And so a scientist bends down, he picks up a handful of dust, and God says, wait a second, get your own dirt. See, God created the dirt that man came from. Man still hasn't been able to produce life from nothing. They've been trying and trying, and they can't do it. God's power is limitless. Only God created the earth, sun, moon, and stars. Only God could say to Lazarus, come forth after 4 days of being in the tomb, and he walks on out. Did you know in Genesis 17, when God reveals himself to Abraham, he introduces himself as God Almighty? He's almighty. He has all might, all power. In Genesis 18:4, after the angel of the Lord told Abraham and Sarah, they're going to be parents in their old age, and Sarah laughed, the angel said this, is anything too difficult for the Lord? At the appointed time, I'll return to you at this time next year, and Sarah will have a son. Amen. And this time of year, when we celebrate the birth of the Christ child, we see how the angel of the Lord appeared to Mary and told her she would be the Savior of the world. And she asked in Luke 1:34, how can this be? I'm a virgin. I have never known a man. And the angel responds in verse 37 saying, nothing will be impossible with God. Friends, nothing is impossible for God. And sometimes we think, well, that applies to everyone else, but God, my situation is so bad, so difficult, and I've been praying for 4 months to be healed completely of COVID. It's impossible, friends. All things are possible. No matter how long your trial has been going on, don't give up, don't give in, don't lose heart. We finished that series a couple weeks ago. Don't lose heart, because all things are possible with God. Job said in chapter 42, verse 2, I know you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be stopped. God's unstoppable. There is no one who can stop him from working in your life and my life. That's how powerful he is. And then at the end of Revelation 19:6, it says, hallelujah, the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Friends, from cover to cover, the scriptures tell us God is omnipotent. He is all-powerful. He can do anything for you and for me. No wonder the most famous verse in the Bible begins with, for God. Because he's immutable, He's eternal. He always was and always will be. He's omnipresent everywhere at the same time. He's omnipotent. Nothing's impossible for him. And there's one more thing that we're going to learn about God today. He is omniscient. Omniscient means he knows everything. In this technological age of computers and internet, mankind knows more now than at any other time in history, but there's still one who knows more than all the computers combined. There is one who possesses all knowledge, and that is God. He knows the numbers of the hairs on your head. And for some of us, that's easier for him to do than others. Is there anyone who knows how many hair you have on your head? You see, and there's some there. You just shave it down, pastors that bad. Do you know? God knows. He knows everything. He also knows our thoughts and our motives of our heart. He knows our thoughts and our motives of our heart. Job 28:28, it says, God understands its way and he knows its place, for he looks to the ends of the earth and he sees everything under the heavens. 1 Chronicles 28:9, the Lord searches all hearts and understands every intent of the thoughts. Friends, you and I cannot know anyone's thoughts or intentions. We can only base it on what we hear people say and what we see them do. But God knows why people do it and what they're thinking, the thoughts behind it. Jesus, when he was teaching in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew 6:5, he says, we need to pray in secret, knowing that our Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you openly. That's why we pray. We pray because we have an omnipotent, all-knowing, unchangeable God. And so we need to pray because he rewards prayer. Don't give up praying. Don't give up seeking if you don't see God moving, for God knows everything and he's got your situation in his hands. He has it in his hands. I want to give you 5 practical applications in your notes. We're going to go through these rather quickly, okay? Number one, because God is unchangeable, it means he's dependable. Because God is unchangeable, it means he is dependable. We can trust him. Even when life shatters our trust, we can still trust God. Proverbs 3:5, one of those verses we mentioned at the beginning that was vying for the most famous verse in the Bible. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. He will direct your paths. God is directing your path. You don't have to worry that you're walking in fear and confusion. You can depend on God. He's directing your footsteps right now. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen, to the glory of God through us. God promised if we believe on him and his son Jesus, we would receive eternal life, and that's a promise that is guaranteed. You can depend on him. Because of that, of God's immutability, we can have him with us now, but also we can have him in eternity. Because God is eternal, number two, we will enjoy eternity with him. In relationship to time, God is always present. He's not here today and gone tomorrow. He doesn't walk out on you when life gets rough. He is always here. He is Emmanuel, God with us. And we're going to spend eternity with him someday. When we die or when Jesus comes again and raptures Christ's followers up to heaven, will be there for eternity. I once heard an illustration of how long eternity is, okay? I want you to imagine a seagull who's given a mission to go to the east coast of the United States and to pick up a single grain of sand, fly all the way over to the west coast and deposit that grain of sand on the beaches of the west coast. And then go back and do that process over and over and over until every single grain of sand from the coastline of Maine down to the tip of Florida has been removed from the East Coast and has been deposited on the West Coast. How long do you think that's going to take? Quite a long time, right? Everyone say tick-tock. That's a second. Friends, the time that it takes a seagull to take every grain of sand from the East Coast to the West Coast is less than a tick-tock in eternity. We're going to be with Him forever. He loves us. He wants relationship with us. We have an awesome God. Let's look at number three, the third practical application. Because God is omnipresent, He will always be with us. Not only are we always with God in eternity, He's always with us. His name, Emmanuel, means God with us. So no matter what I'm going through in life, God will be there. His presence is always there. I might not feel like He's there at times, but He is always with us. He's omnipresent. And that brings us to another important practical truth, because God is omnipotent, He has power to protect us. Psalm 34:7 says, "The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear Him and delivers them." This verse reminds us that God's presence continually surrounds you and your neighbor and every person in this building and every person outside of this building. God surrounds us. Friends, God has the power to destroy the enemy. He can give you victory. He can give you hope. He can give you joy. Trust in the omnipotent God. Ephesians 3:20 says, "To Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever." You say, "Craig, why are you saying so many scriptures today?" Because I want you to realize that God, as He's revealed Himself to you and me in His Word, He's saying, "I am unchangeable. I am omnipotent. I'm omnipresent. I'm eternal." And last of all, He is omniscient. Because He's omniscient, He knows our every need. God knows every need you have, even the needs you don't know you have. Even those things taking place in your body or taking place at work, taking place at home that you have no idea about, God knows those needs. God has the ability to turn our tragedies into triumph. He knows how to bring beauty out of ashes, to bring hope out of discouragement, joy out of our sorrow, and life out of death. God sees all, He is in all, and He is aware of our every need. When we finished our Don't Lose Heart series based on Hebrews a couple weeks ago, I want you to hear what the author of Hebrews said in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 and 36. He said, "Don't throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded." You need to persevere so that when you've done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. Friends, I know things are difficult right now. Some of you are facing financial challenges. Some of you are facing health challenges. Some of you are facing situations at work or at school or at home. And they're difficult. And I know in the world around us, as we look at our world, we see sadness, we see chaos, we see uncertainty, we see fear. But friends, for God, God is with us. And He can meet every single need according to His riches in glory. And His riches are limitless. Just as He is limitless, He can meet every need. God's Word tells us that we serve the eternal, unchanging, ever-present God who possesses all power, knowledge, and wisdom. And here's the most amazing thing. God wants to commune with us all. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. God wants a relationship with you and me. And that's why we celebrate Christmas. He gave his Son, Jesus. We're going to celebrate communion. And these emblems, the bread represents the body of Jesus. The cup of juice represents the blood. And it's his body and blood. Jesus gave his life for you and I. When I was growing up, I was very religious. I believed in God. I went to church, and I did everything my church said to do. Be baptized, go to communion, say these prayers, do this and that. Do your best. But the entire time, even though I was doing all these things, God seemed distant and far away. I didn't have a relationship. And the reason was, is I was trusting in my works of righteousness to take away my sin. And it's not by works of righteousness that we have done, but it's according to his mercy that he has saved us. Jesus took my death penalty. The wages of sin is death. Jesus, when he died on the cross, he took my death penalty. He took my sin. He took my sorrow. He took my sickness, and he bore them on the cross because he wants a relationship with me, and he wants one with you. You see, our sin separates us from God, but Jesus gave his life so that we could have this communion, this relationship, so that this unchanging, eternal, all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere present God can be present with us and help us and give us power and knowledge and meet our every need and never, ever walk out on us. That's why we celebrate communion, because Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. Remember what I've done for you. You may remember that earlier we talked about that the omnipresence of God can be reassuring, because if we're walking with God, he's always there with us. But if we're not following him, if we're doing our own thing, it's a place of judgment. Like it said in Amos, you can run, but you can't hide. The Apostle Paul, he told the Corinthians, when you partake of communion, you need to examine yourself, lest you bring judgment upon yourself. You see, you just can't look good on the outside and come to church and sing and raise your hands and go home and look good on the outside, but the thoughts and intents and motives of your heart are wicked. The private things you're doing when no one around, you're sinning or you're rebelling against God, whether it's openly or secretly. We need to basically surrender our lives to Jesus and say, Jesus, you gave your life for me. I'm laying down my life, my wants. I want you to be my Lord. That term Lord means boss. Jesus wants to be the boss, the leader of my life. This morning, I want to give you the opportunity. I'd like everyone to bow their heads and close their eyes. Some of you here today, you've never received Christ as your forgiver and leader. You don't have that relationship with God. But you know that you need one. You feel this tugging on your heart. That's the Holy Spirit convicting you, drawing you. And maybe you say, man, I feel so filthy, so dirty. I've done so many things wrong. How could God love me, friends? That's the thing about just as God is limitless in every other area, his love is limitless. There is no sin the blood of Jesus cannot cover. His blood takes away every stain. This morning, if you are not a follower of Christ and you realize you need to stop trusting your good works or you need to stop doing your own thing, you've been rebelling against God, you'd say, God, I need to surrender to you today. God, I'm a sinner. I'm putting my faith in you and I'm turning from my sin. I want to follow you. If that's you this morning, whether you're here in the room or you're watching online, I'd like you to raise your hand. How many here this morning you'd say, Craig, I need to be forgiven of my sin. I need to give my life to Christ. Just put your hand up this morning. Then you can put it back down. Anyone here in the house, you'd say that? If Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you for your honesty. That's great. Anyone online? I know maybe no one may be around you, but God sees, and just lift your hand saying, God, I want that relationship. I need your forgiveness. I need your leadership. Just go ahead and raise your hand this morning. Some of us here, many of us are followers of Jesus, but as we examine ourselves before we partake of communion, how many of you would say, you know, I've got unconfessed sin in my life. I've got some things I need to resolve. There's been some areas that maybe I once surrendered to God and I've picked them back up, and I need to lay those down again and start honoring Jesus with my life. Maybe it's not anything you've been doing really wrong, but you've just been absorbed with self and you're not living for the purpose that God created you for. You were created on purpose for a purpose, and you're just so absorbed in self that you're not really walking in His will. And you'd say, man, God, I need to start pursuing you with all my heart. If you're a follower of Jesus, you'd say, I need to recommit myself. There's some things I need to give back to God and give up and get right with Him. I'd like you to raise your hand this morning. See many hands going up. That's awesome. Thank you. I want to say this prayer, and I want all of us to repeat this together, both here and those online. Just repeat after me these words this morning. Lord Jesus, I admit I'm a sinner. I need your forgiveness. I turn from my sin. I believe you died for me. Wash me clean from every sin and stain. Give me a relationship with you. I put you in the driver's seat. You're in charge of my life. Thank you for your death and your resurrection. I receive newness of life, and I will follow you. I trust you, God. You are dependable. Protect me. Supply my needs. Thank you for never leaving me. Amen.
You have been listening to the podcast of Radius Church in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please check us out at radiuschurch.live or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation.